Hi, and welcome to Radio Gorgeous, Gorgeous Escapes. And I'm here with our Gorgeous Escapes presenter. I just wonder what you were suddenly.
Person, woman.
Hi, yeah, it's Sarah Tucker. Hi, welcome back to Radio Gorgeous.
Hello, I've just come back from Paris.
Now, Paris, that's interesting. Because Paris now, I'm slightly getting mixed reports about it. People say it's quite a sad city, or they're quite fearful when they go there, or it's now way behind London in sort of money and glamour. But tell us about your experience in Paris.
Well, I went for the traditional, I suppose, long weekend. I went via Eurostar, which is still as efficient as ever, although I used to love it when I used to go from Waterloo. Now you go from King's Cross, and so it's not quite as easy. But it's still very efficient. It's the best way to get there. I have been to Paris many, many times before, and I was initially going, I was invited to the 25th anniversary of Euro Disney. Incredible that it's been open for 25 years. I remember, yeah. I went in the very first year. On a press trip, and I definitely think it's one of those places you've got to go. You've got to have a 4-year-old with you, yeah. To really, you know, get the joy of It's a Small World and the Haunted House and the Peter Pan ride, and also put up with the queuing and yeah. Navigate the fast forward system and all.
We've all done
track.
It though.
I know. I think sort of as I've now got an 18-year-old son, and I went by myself with a group of journalists. And it's not quite as fun, and perhaps you probably see it. One probably sees it in a different light, and the merchandising. And
so, did you go to the 25th wedding?
I did. They have got some new rides, which are exciting. I think the problem is that the children now are, they have so much thrown at them as regard to high tech. The computer games are incredible. All these theme parks, and there is a although there's still millions of people, there's about 14 million people every year going to Euro Disney now, but that's, I think they do double accounting, because they count the number of people going in and the number of people going out, which I find quite odd. But the hotel we stayed at was the Vienna House Hotel, which is like one of those themed hotels that's around the Disney area. Disney owns an awful lot of land around that area, and they're building hotels all over the place.
But does it seem a bit old-fashioned then for children?
I think they've got to up their game. I also don't think they've got full occupancy, and I think that after all the issues that they've had with terrorism, not just in Paris but in France as a whole, has had an impact. I think when you go out onto the streets, and there's still some wonderful things to do.
Because it's in Paris now, in Disneyland.
This is in Paris, and again,
is it quiet?
Well, it is quieter than it. I think spring in Paris is usually the most wonderful time to go there. And also, I think the people, unless Eurostar lay on these trains which go straight actually into Euro Disney. And if you're thinking about, you'd want to do a Euro Disney weekend, if you're just with a whole group of girls, or you don't have kids in tow, do it that way, because it's about an hour and a half to the area. If you ride in the Gare du Nord from Eurostar, and a lot of people don't. It's a bit like when people think they're going to London and they fly into Stansted. Yeah. It's bonkers.
So you can go straight to Disneyland on the Eurostar.
You can, okay. But it's only during really high season.
Let's just keep on Disney just for a second. Would you recommend going there?
I would recommend going there. If you've never been there before, I think it's an experience, and I think your children, especially if they're young, as I said, the age is 4. If you've got a 4-year-old, 5-year-old, they will love them. The only thing is that the rides, you've got to be over a certain height, and they may get disappointed about that. So perhaps a little bit older, so you can catch them just the right age. I'd say between the ages of 4 and 7, because
would you say your Disney's safe?
Would I say? I think the security was incredible. Before we went through the turnstiles, there were armed guards that you had to go through. There was a lot more police about. But then again, there's a lot more police about in London as well. At Eurostar, both on the French side and the English side, there were armed guards all over the place. They were very they were present basically all the way through. So you're
right. That's good for people with safety worries.
I think it is good for people with, you know, sort of safety worries, and I think when Eurostar eventually initially opened, people were, I remember the advertising campaign, which was quickly withdrawn because they had the train going underwater with loads and loads of fishes and
they terrified people.
Well, the last people want, you know, things people wanted to know was underneath the water.
Yeah.
So, but I think the highlight for me for that particular trip, there's a show, and most people who've gone to Eurostar, gone to Euro Disney will know about it. It's called the Wild West Show, Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show. It's actually nothing to do with Disney, but you've got it's an incredible show. It's you've got bison, you've got wild horses, or horses that are beautifully trained. You've got long horned cattle, and it's done very, very well, very atmospheric. And you start to think, oh, you know, everyone's whooping it up, and you won't do it, and you won't join in, and you won't get into the competitive spirit of things. And actually, by the end of it, I defy even the most cynical person not to really get involved in the joy of it. So the Wild West Show is definitely worth money if you want to make that trip. But as I said, I wasn't only doing it for the Euro Disney thing. I was going into Paris, wanted to see what it was like, if it was quieter. I would say it is still an incredibly romantic city. There are interesting tours to do, like the gastronomic tour you can do. Just looking around some of the specialist shops, like chocolate shops and sort of the shops that makes the French patisseries and things. But I think the issue now is London as a city has so much to offer as far as cuisine is concerned.
And diversity.
Mm. And it's getting much better at being outdoors and navigating our interesting climates, let's put it that way, that we are upping our game in a lot of ways. So I think Paris needs to do the same. One thing that I've always felt about Paris is that the environs around it are particularly worth going to. Like a lot of the Parisians, for their weekend, they leave Paris and they go to Versailles. Now, we think of Versailles as Paris, but again, Versailles is sort of slightly outdoors of Paris. And they don't go to the palace, which all the tourists do. They picnic in the gardens. They hire a bike and they picnic around the gardens. The gardens are stunning. They also go to a place called Meaux. And we know Meaux from the Brie. It's famous for the Brie and for the mustard.
So M-E-A-U. Yeah.
M-E-A-U. Yeah. And it is, again, what I call a very traditional. You go into this town and it's just like one of these places where you think, you know, it belongs or somewhere like Chocolat. You know, you can see Johnny Depp walking around the corner. Yeah. And unfortunately, he didn't. But you can go to the Brie factory and you can go to the mustard factory. And that is interesting. And I've never met the man who makes the Brie, one of the men who makes the Brie. He was such a happy person. He loved his work. And actually, they have sort of grades. You have to be, you pass qualifications to make this cheese. And they have this sort of ceremony. And you wear this hat, which looks as though you've got this great big Brie on your head. Actually, if people look at the website,
kind of round hat?
Round, yes, but it's...
Round, flat hat.
Exactly, but it's very, very dramatic, and it does actually look like a cheese. The other place that I strongly recommend people going to, especially if they're into their film, is a chateau that's just outside Meaux, and it is the Chateau du Monde, which... where the film Dangerous Liaisons with John Malkovich and Michelle Pfeiffer and Glenn Close was filmed.
Fabulous.
And it is stunning. It is stunning. But the first thing I thought when I sort of walked up to it, I said, well, if I had 60 servants, then great, it would be a really nice place to live.
Because it's vast.
It's vast. The gardens are second to none. The Pompadours have visited there. It was owned by a banker who was given to it by the king of the time, but he embezzled money, so he was put in jail. I think he was executed, and then it was passed down to another family, and they were very, very ahead of their time. They were the first chateau in France to introduce electricity. They looked after their staff well. They gave their staff bathrooms. In fact, there was a story that the guy told who was showing us around, who's very, very good, the guides are good there, and that they were showing the staff all the bathrooms, and a lot of the staff had never used a bath before, so they were all having a bath fully clothed. And he said, no, actually, you do take it, because in those times, it was I don't know if it's true, but it's a nice story anyway.
Well, we know the French don't bathe as much as anybody else in Europe. They're the least clean. That's why they use perfume. They use perfume as antiperspirant. They just spray it under their armpits.
All right. Well, that's... Yeah. Oh, yes.
And Italians are the cleanest, and they have up to 4 showers a day.
I think that's a good idea, but they have a climate where
that's
you need
too,
to have...
Four. I think that's too many myself.
Yeah, so I think you lose lots of layers of skin, and you need some. You need some body odour. Mm. So, but I found that the highlight of the trip. Mm. And also, you go around each individual room, and they have mannequins showing... Mm. The costumes of the time, and that is beautiful as well. So not only Dangerous Liaisons was filmed there, and it was filmed extensively around there. Mm. The other films, I think Swan in Love was also filmed there. Les Misérables was filmed there in part, and Napoleon's sort of some of the other films.
How far outside Paris is it? Is it easy to get to?
It's about it will take you on a coach. We were on a coach, and it took us about sort of like 40 minutes.
Fantastic.
So it is, and I think at the moment, I'm not saying don't go to Paris, but I think you will find it is quieter.
For people that don't like crowds.
Well, it is exactly, and try and go outside Paris and explore, because I think there's a lot of gems that have been hidden because everyone's gone straight for Rue Saint-Germain, the Eiffel Tower, that lots of different things inside, and I think there's so much more to the outskirts of Paris than people take advantage of.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. I love Paris in the springtime, don't you? So this has been a podcast for RadioGorgeous.com. For more information, go to RadioGorgeous.com. And for more information, what's your website, Sarah?
SarahTucker.info.
Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous.
My pleasure.